Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
And we are if anybody's still out there, God knows what's going on. But anyway, we had our intro. I'm here. I'm trying to get my co-host back on stream here. So welcome to the 21st century. Freaking believable. Oh, well, par for the course. If you're still hanging out there trying to figure out what the heck's going on, it's not you, it's us. But welcome to the show, and as you can tell, I'm ticked off. modern technology at its best. I think we have my co-host trying to call in here from their remote location. So anyway, everybody hang tight here just a second. I'm going to try to get them on. I'm going to put you all on a little music here of superhero music that I need a superhero right now. Hang on one second. Are you there?
Yeah, you know, we lost 8 minutes. Could you dispense with the damn music?
No, I was trying to get you on board here, and I had to do something in the meantime. I had to play some kind of, I was wishing for a superhero. I don't know where Laurie is. Laurie, are you calling in? She can't get in. So it's just you and me, Brian.
oh, God, if you want to talk politics, this one's going to be fun.
Crap. I mean, I had everything lined up here. I had a political story that I wanted to talk about, but it ain't working either. So how you been, Brian?
Oh, I'm doing just great. I was supposed to go to the, you know, I was supposed to go to the Virginia Wine Expo yesterday. You know, I usually go every year. And then I said, you know what? It's just a drunk fest, and I'm not going to enjoy it. So I didn't go.
You didn't go.
Stayed
Man,
home.
You are getting into a normal life. You're getting real too healthy, aren't you?
It's not, it wasn't a matter of being healthier, not wanting to drink. It's just such a crowded scene. I mean, you've seen pictures. Remember when we used to be on the Saturday format? I used to call in from there, the show, you know. It's just a zoo. And I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like dealing with the zoo. So...
Oh, well, so you're still living your normal, as you call it, normal life. I see your pictures on Facebook with all your
Yes, I'm living my normal life.
That's really nice. And I'm being a caveman. And Laurie, are you coming in or not? I guess you can't get through. Oh, well.
Maybe she forgot to put makeup on.
I got nothing. All my stories, food news stories. Oh, here we go. One of them's popping up again. I don't believe it. Gee whiz. This is going to be a really good show, too. I had it all planned. Believe it or not, I had it all planned out. This is what I get for planning something.
Well, that's your first mistake.
Well,
you know, we never plan.
I know. I'm not planning anymore. Screw it. The reason why this is going to be a political show is because Donald Trump, this cracks me up, because I've been saying this for a long time, and this is scary. I'm thinking like Donald Trump, I guess, but Donald Trump is a big fan of fast food and calls McDonald's the epitome cleanliness. Have you heard about this?
Well, what's he going to do when he puts a wall up and all the Mexicans that work in McDonald's can't come across the border?
Well, yeah, I hope he does put up that damn wall, and that's a whole other story. But
I'm not going to get into a political argument with you.
Yeah, you bleeding liberals just want to let them all come in. Come on in, everybody, all the terrorists.
Oh,
I
don't want them. I don't want people that are going to work under the table and not pay taxes. So I'm not so liberal as you might think.
Okay. Well, anyway, here's the story about McDonald's. There's a lot of pressure on presidential candidates to say the right thing. Of course, Donald Trump never does. But they also want to be eating the right food. But Donald Trump has come out saying that he eats fast food, loves fast food. And in his interview with Anderson Cooper, he made the comment here, if I can get this thing to work, that he actually has fast food delivered to his private plane. And some of his favorite fast food is Burger King, which that surprised me. Because you know how we always rag on Burger King?
Well, obviously, it just shows that he knows nothing about food.
Hey, guess what? We have Laurie. Wait a minute. Let's let her join the fun. I think we do. Hello, Laurie. You there?
Oh, my gosh. I had to shut down my phone and reboot because it was just going – it was making like a weird ringing noise, and I didn't even know if you could hear it. It was making a weird ringing noise and wouldn't let me call in. So
no.
I completely shut it down and started it, rebooted it, and I'm in. So hi, everyone.
Yay. God, I'm sure there's not a single person listening,
guys,
at this point. Yeah.
If you guys would, like get out of the boonies –
No.
And get a new computer and a new phone, maybe you wouldn't have so many problems.
This has to do with Blog Talk this time. Their whole system shut down. Anyway, what I was saying is he likes fast food. Some of his favorite places are Burger King, McDonald's, and my favorite one, which is Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's your favorite, isn't it, Brian?
No, you know I don't like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
You know, that's why I said that.
It's my favorite. It's one of my favorites.
And guess what his favorite item on the menu at McDonald's would be?
The Big Mac.
No, believe it or not, he likes the filet of fish. But this is the funny part. He called it the Fish Delight. Anyway.
Whatever.
He likes the filet of fish, and he said, but the one thing, I agree with him on this thing about, I talked about this before, you know, my good buddies over at Chipotle with all their problems, McDonald's and Burger King, Wendy's, all those fast food companies, they have very tight standards, and his point is that the bottom line is they've got to live up to really tight standards, and that's why their food is good, and he said that, He defends them simply because of their cleanliness. I think you're better off going there than some place you have no idea where the food is coming from. It's a certain standard, Trump says. The one thing about the big franchises, one bad hamburger, you can destroy McDonald's. One bad hamburger, you can take out Wendy's. And all the other places go out of business. So they have such tight standards, and that's what I was talking about during that whole Chipotle issue is, people rag on McDonald's and all these fast food places, but I've been there, done that, involved in the food business. They have big, big standards they have to live
by. They're very strict. When I first turned 16, I got a job at Burger King in Clark, New Jersey, and I could not believe, I worked the milkshake department they come around as like inspect it, and if it's not the way it's supposed to be, they make you you have to redo the whole thing. They are, you're right. They're so strict with their policy for cleanliness, and I agree with Donald Trump on that.
Yep. So there you go. Donald Trump likes fast food, even though he doesn't know what he's eating, and called the filet of fish, whatever he called it, the fancy fish.
He's in good shape. He's in good shape. He doesn't eat a lot of fast food, I'm sure, but when he does, it was, you know, he did say that, so he was plugging him.
And Laurie, all the other stories I told you I had for the show tonight, they're completely gone.
Uh-oh.
Because when I shut down, I had to shut down everything and reboot. So, do you have any food stories? Oh, Brian, do you have anything you would like to say?
Well, you know, I had food stories like years ago, and we never used them, so now I can't find them. I stopped looking because you never want my food stories.
We want them, please. Please. I don't want to read the whole time, please.
No, Laurie. I will say one thing real quick. When I posted this thing about the show, food and politics make for interesting dinner guests. One of the worst Thanksgivings I ever had was when I started talking politics during Thanksgiving dinner. Don't ever do that. It's not a good mix. They always say, what, politics and religion are two things you shouldn't mix with social events. Well, one of the worst Thanksgiving I ever had was I talked politics, and my father and I got into a big fight, and I ended up leaving, and it was a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, jeez.
That
must have been a long time ago.
I don't talk politics
with
anybody. You know?
Yeah, I know you don't. Especially me.
Hey, look, I deal with a lot of different people in my line of work. And I grew up in the North, and they can just assume that I'm an ultra-liberal, which I'm not. I have standards. But say a word to people about politics, about sex, about religion.
No, you don't. Because you get yourself in big trouble. Okay, on that note, Laurie, do you have anything, or are we supposed to twiddle our thumbs now for the next 27 minutes?
Of course I have things. Of course I
all
do.
All right. Yay.
Okay, the benefits of coffee. And here we go. From lower
I just heard another one today.
You did?
Well, or maybe it's the one that you're going to talk about. Yeah.
Well, let her read it first, for God's sake.
No, jump in, it's fine. Jump in, chime in. Lowering cancer risk to decreasing the bodily horrors of working a desk job. The message is clear. You drink coffee and you live forever. Even if you drink like the fish, the new study that'll be enabling drunks everywhere says that the consumption of coffee can even lower the risk of cirrhosis, the liver condition that can arise from drinking excessive amounts of alcohol, among other factors. Is this the same one that you're talking about, Brian?
That's what I heard. I don't know why I just heard it today, but I heard it today. We had heard some news report about the whole liver stuff. And
yeah. Well, this is new. I think someone had posted this on Facebook the other day. I saw it, or maybe Sunbless Caroline sent it to me. I can't remember, but this is only like a couple of days that I just found this. So it says researchers from the Southampton University in the UK looked at data from 9 other studies and found that in 8 of them, increasing coffee consumption by just 2 cups was associated with a significant reduction in the risk of cirrhosis. The numbers suggest that drinking 2 cups of coffee per day reduced the risk of developing cirrhosis by 44%, with the figure rising to 65% if you drink 4 cups a day. That's a lot to me. 4
really?
Cups is a lot of coffee. But, Brilliant, I know you drink about probably 4 or 5 cups a day.
I was going to ask you, so is there a ratio? Like, how many glasses of wine do you think I drink a night?
I'd say about 3. I drink 1 to 1.5, 2 the most.
All right. But I probably drink 4 to 5 cups of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, because
is that a good
ratio? Like 10:30, 11 in the late morning. By 8:30, I'm on my cup and I'm done.
Dr. Laurie, yes. Wait a minute. Dr. Laurie, is that a good ratio? 3 glasses of wine to 5 cups of coffee? Is that the right ratio?
Sure. If it makes you happy.
Well, but you know what? You can drink all the alcohol you want as long as you're drinking enough coffee. But you realize with all that sweet and low that you eat or whatever sugar substitute you use, you'll wind up glowing eventually.
you know what? I've come to
the
conclusion. Guess what? I got a news flash. We're all going to die. So,
of course.
So, you know, I enjoy my wine. I enjoy my coffee. I enjoy my sweet and low. And I'm actually not in that bad of shape. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, though, you know, for a while I was not drinking coffee. It was just not agreeing with me. And when I changed my diet, I was able to drink coffee again. So, I mean, you could say that drinking coffee, but I wouldn't recommend it to someone that doesn't handle coffee well in their system to just all of a sudden start drinking coffee, you know.
Right.
Because then it means they can go out and drink as much wine as they want.
Here's something I've always wondered. You know, they say if you smoke a cigar or cigarette, it cuts, 1.5, 2 years off your life. If you do this, you do that, you live less certain amount of time, you'll last 2 years longer if you don't do this and don't do that. How do they know?
You know.
Because someone with money, someone with money is putting all this propaganda out in the world because they want to see us all squirm like little bugs.
But look at the Mondavi family. What was it? Peter Mondavi just died at 101. I mean, the Mondavi family does have longevity in their genes. There's no doubt about it. And they're in the wine business. So
doesn't mean
but
they drank a ton of wine.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Brian?
I said, we don't know that they drank a ton of wine. It could be in the wine. I'm
right.
In the wine business.
I don't drink
a ton of wine.
No. I'm not saying they drink a ton of wine, but I'm saying they're in the wine business. I'm sure they're tasting their wines and drinking some sort of wine.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying maybe, well, yeah. They're in the
is
wine
it
business.
Is it nature or is
it
nurture?
Is it
the wine or is it their genes? That's the part. I mean, this is all, to
well,
me, it's all a bunch
I
of
would
crap.
Think of the genes, you know. I mean, they say that there is something to be said about people's cultures and their diets. And, you know, certain cultures live longer because they eat this or they drink that or they do this or they do that. But I would say that on an individual basis, it's got to be their own genes. You know, my dad's 91, and I expect that I'm going to live a long life.
There you go.
You know?
Speaking of politics, going back to Brian, here we go again.
We have to talk about Donald Trump again.
Yeah, actually it is. Brian, you said about spending the money and somebody spending the money, whatever you said was actually very intelligent. I forgot what you said.
Yes, about spending money to put out propaganda.
All right, well, that's very interesting. Did you know that Jeb Bush spent $3.9 million last week on advertising? And he ended up getting 7.8% of the vote. So, speaking of politics, dropping out.
And obviously, his president brother was not as liked as they thought he was in South Carolina. So,
exactly.
Whatever.
Okay, Laurie. So we're back to cirrhosis of the liver.
Should I continue? Okay. Anyway, with all this good news comes caveats because researchers caution that you shouldn't just begin chugging the gin by the handle and compensate with a vat of cold brew. Unfortunately, although coffee does contain compounds that have antioxidant effects and anti-inflammatory properties, drinking a few cups of coffee a day cannot undo the systematic damage that is the result of being overweight or obese.
There you go.
And what did I just say?
It's not
a quick fix.
Right. But, Brian, you were just saying, remember we were talking, I think within the past couple of days, you said something about coffee helps with your appetite. And I had agreed with that. I said it does.
Well, yes, an appetite. I believe it is an appetite suppressant.
I do too.
Or it's at least a good one, you know.
It's a good one, yep. Yep, because sometimes, like, if I drink my coffee, I don't want to eat breakfast right away. I wait and have my few cups, and then around 9:30 we have breakfast. So yeah.
It makes me have to go to the bathroom. Brian, do you like Starbucks coffee? I can't remember. We've had this conversation before.
No, I hate Starbucks coffee, and I hate everything about Starbucks. So
me too.
We can end
and
this conversation now.
Well, I went into Starbucks in Chicago. And I've had this conversation with you guys before, but it's impossible just to get a regular cup of coffee there. They have 4,873 different combinations and sizes and weird names. And I watch the people in front of me. These people, it's like a religion. I want a twist of this and a mocha coca and a poca toca. And unbelievable what these people put in their coffees, and it's just like, I just want a cup of coffee. I said that to the girl. I said, I want a cup of coffee. And she goes, well, what kind? And I'm like, the brown kind.
The kind you put in the cup, and then I put some Wheat and Low in it and some cream, and I drink it.
And it wasn't even any good. No, she wanted to know if I wanted Arabica or what's the other one? I forget. There's all these different
names.
Well,
they have the tall and the grande and the grande and the that grande. And, oh, God.
But you know what? They opened a Starbucks in my hometown of Cranford, New Jersey, and it is mobbed constantly.
I just don't understand
why people, you know, okay, it's like people that are on welfare feel that they need to own a Mercedes and a pair of Nike sneakers. Why would anybody in their right mind want to pay even for the regular cup of coffee, which you can't get at Starbucks, really,
right?
$4 and $5 for a stupid little cup of coffee?
Yeah, I have to say, when you walk past it, it smells so good when you walk by. It smells
so good. Yeah, but it tastes so bad. It's the worst coffee.
But,
it's not my kind of coffee.
They still pack these places. And yet, it's the worst coffee. It's burnt coffee, as far as I'm concerned.
It is. And then, speaking of Donald Trump and politics and McDonald's, now McDonald's
doesn't
have that coffee.
Oh, God. I'm going to have a meltdown.
McDonald's has a
I think
$1
I'm
going to
join you.
The $1 McCafe coffee, it's good stuff.
Yes, I agree. I do have to say, I love that coffee at McDonald's. Mm-mm. Okay, enough of that. Mary will be saying, you talk about McDonald's too much. Our neighbor. Oh, yeah. Are you there?
Yes,
we're here.
And the Donald's, yes.
And the Donald. We can never talk enough about the Donald. Come on, the Trump train. Woohoo! I'm picking up speed. Coming around the mountain. Woohoo!
Please.
Okay, another article about chocolate, dark chocolate, and red wine. You've probably heard of this one, Brian. The CERT food diet. Have you heard of that new crave? It's the new crave of 2016. The CERT. S-I-R-T.
It
includes dark. CERT, S-I-R-T, the CERT food diet. It's what everyone's talking about in 2016. It includes
everybody.
Dark
chocolate. I haven't heard it.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, everybody's talking about it, but us, obviously.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Anyway, the dark chocolate and the red wine is the regimen that everyone is talking about. The so-called CERT-rich foods work by activating the proteins in the body. These regulate biological processes such as aging, cellular death, inflammation, and metabolism, and it protects the cells from dying when they are under stress. According to the researchers, CERT foods mimic the effects of fasting and exercise, and it can increase the speed of weight loss and counterbalance the effect of junk food. And this diet has so far attracted positive attention for its inclusion of red wine, especially Pinot Noir, which I'm not so crazy about, dark chocolate, that is at least 85% cocoa, and coffee, which is ideally black. So see, coffee, red wine, dark chocolate, this is good stuff.
Okay, so we've covered all the diseases, yet yet, you know, the chocolate and the wine is supposed to be like taboo for people that have to cut their carbs down. Oh boy.
I know, but it says that it actually speeds up. It mimics. It actually speeds up the weight loss.
What is the? Go back for a second. I'm over here. I'm having some more technical difficulties. But what the heck does CIRT mean? You say S-I-R-T?
S-I-R-T, CIRT foods. Okay, foods that include, other foods include blueberries, parsley, turmeric, walnuts, celery, kale, buckwheat, capers, turmeric are also classified as CIRT foods. I don't, S-I-R-T, it's like the new
I'm
diet.
Looking it up now.
Yeah,
okay,
please, diet. Oh, wait, I think this is the same article that you're reading. Is it from Independent?
I think that's what it is. From, well, what's
it doesn't matter.
It's the first article
by the way,
that came
Brian,
up.
Brian, how close are you, how close to, were you to this 9-hour closure of the I-64 westbound because of the bacon that spilled on the interstate?
Where was this?
Well,
obviously, I neither caused it or was interested in becoming part of it.
Well, it says it was an overturned truck in James City County. Where is that in relationship to where you are?
That's actually not too far.
Thought so, but it was at 2:30 in the morning. It was a tractor trailer turned over, shut down the I-64 westbound, and it was shut down for 9 hours, and they said nobody was hurt except they just had to dispose of the bacon, which I think that's pitiful. A whole truckload, 40,000 pounds of bacon had to destroy.
Was it a Smithfield truck or a Gatwani?
It
or however
say.
You pronounce that.
It doesn't say. Probably a Gatwani.
I mean, because those are two big – producers down in the Virginia Beach area.
Mm-hmm.
40,000 pounds of bacon spilled on the interstate.
Wow.
I wish that was close by. I would have gotten some free bacon.
We would have been licking it off the ground. I'll help you clean that up.
Yeah.
Raw,
I'm surprised.
Care.
I'm surprised you didn't call me up and say, "Get in your car now and go." You don't have to eat it. Just hold it for me.
If I had known at 2:30 this morning, I would have.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, it says that the authors and nutritionists who wrote this, it's called Health Delusion. It criticizes the health supplement industry, which is behind the new book called The CIRT Food Diet. He said they didn't intend to write this as a weight loss book, but as they stress the importance of fitness and well-being with not dieting. This survey with 40 gym goers at the prestigious health club where they both work as consultants in West London. Each of the participants lost 7 pounds in 7 days, and they said they couldn't even imagine anything like that. They knew it would help, you know, with your weight loss, but never thought that, you know, using this CIRT foods would have them lose so much.
Did you find out? I got to find out what I want to know. What CIRT means is killing me. But anyway, okay, enough of that. What else you got?
It's proteins. It said something about the protein. Here it is, right here. The CIRT-rich foods activate proteins in the body, so it speeds it up. It speeds it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So,
all right. You got anything else?
Yeah, should I just keep reading? Anybody going to help me out here? No, you lost everything. I got to keep reading. Have you gotten anything back from your computer?
I actually have another story. We were talking about KFC earlier, Brian's favorite, KFC. And they have had a resurgence in their sales over the last 6 quarters. I think it has a lot to do with probably our show. Since I like the chicken, but they reintroduced the kernel, of course. I guess you've seen those advertisements, and they call it the re-kernelization of KFC. And did you know that Yum Brands, the owner of Taco Bell and Pizza Hut, owns KFC? Did you know that, Brian?
I didn't know that.
No.
Well,
I did not.
He
know.
Sounds thrilled.
But you know, it makes sense because I don't care for Pizza Hut either. Well, I've never eaten any of that sort of quick pizza, prefab pizza.
Prefab.
Here's the funny part of the whole story. I'm trying to get. I want just the part I want. So they're re-kernelizing KFC and bringing the kernel back. But then after they did this, they found out that most millennials have no idea who Colonel Sanders was to begin with. So they're having to educate all the millennials and tell them who exactly was Colonel Sanders. You and I and Laurie, we grew up with, you know,
Kentucky Fried Chicken back then.
But yeah, yep. The millennials have no idea who Colonel Sanders is. But anyway, whatever they're doing is helping, and their sales have increased by 6%, which is quite a bit in the restaurant business over the last six quarters. So, I'm thinking maybe you should invest in Yum Brands, because if that's the case, that means Yum Brands stock might be going up.
Yeah. No, KFC, Kentucky Fried, was one of my favorite fast foods. Not that I ate it much. That and White Castle.
Now you're talking.
Really,
White Castle.
I have it. I got it. You know, I'm in Jersey so much. You think I would remember to go to White Castle? I got to go to White Castle.
You know what's funny? When I think about my diet now and I think about White Castle burgers, I probably could eat four of them and they wouldn't exceed my carb limit.
True.
It's so small.
True.
Oh,
my God.
But you got to eat 10 of them.
I know.
To get filled.
Oh, my gosh. I remember when I had White Castle. When I came back from Las Vegas, my sister and my brother picked me up at the Newark Airport. And they missed me. They said, what do you want? I said, White Castle. And we went to White Castle. So that was like, 4 years ago? 5 years ago? That was the last one. I got to go back.
I know. I drive past it all the time on Route 1 whenever I go up to New York. I drive past all those White Castles. And they don't stop. Well, I didn't stop then, and now I resist stopping. You know, I haven't had any fast food since the beginning of January.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't think we have either. Now that I think, no, you were in Chicago, you did, but we had a Subway. I think that was the last time since I think we've had
I go to Subways. You know
what? What do you eat there?
The chopped salad. The chopped salads are great because they're really
boring.
Big. No, chopped salads are good.
Oh God. You have lost it.
Okay, you want to talk about lentils?
Well, I'm sorry. You know what? I can eat that, but I'm not gonna waste my entire carb limit on a meal eating some bread, eating a huge piece of bread. I'm not gonna do it. I'd rather eat other things.
You know, I'm trying to get you riled up. You know that, right?
No, you haven't gotten me there to a meltdown yet.
No.
Hey, did you know?
Okay.
Listen to this. Wait, you listen to this. Bloomberg did a test on Parmesan cheese, and some cheese that they tested had zero Parmesan in it.
I know. I saw something about that.
Yeah.
I actually scrolled. I was on Facebook. Someone posted. I'm like, what the heck? Some of the
Parmesan cheese they tested had 9% wood, and they're allowed to put cellulose in the Parmesan cheese, which is actually wood. It's paper, but it's wood. And some of the Parmesan cheese that you think you're eating is not even Parmesan cheese.
That's why I don't buy that packaged stuff that says Kraft or any of those other companies on it that's already ground up. I grate my own Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, according to the Cheese Merchants of America, there's a group for everybody, that subpar products can be up to 30% in the supermarket that are not even Parmesan cheese. That's scary. Uh-oh, and here's part. At Walmart, the grated Parmesan came in at 7.8% cellulose. At Jewel Osco, which is a big chain, theirs had 8.8%.
So what are they going to do about this?
I
mean, they put it out there. They don't say what they're going to do, though.
Well, what they're basically not, they're not going to do anything because the FDA allows them to do this stuff on these particular products, and as long as it's
now,
on the label.
Now, that's what the food babe should be talking about.
Yeah, here you go. I agree.
Right?
That's a food babe story. It's actually it's a filler. It's made out of wood pulp. It's legal in small amounts, but a lot of these companies are over-exceeding their the allowance. It's actually supposed to be only 4%, but there's some are coming in at 7.8 and 8.8. So, yeah, how do you know?
Right. I mean, if I look at the ingredients, does it say wood?
No.
Yeah,
come on. If you buy natural real cheese, like Parmigiano Reggiano, it's imported from Italy. It comes in a giant wheel. They cut it up into hunks, and you buy a hunk, and you grate your own cheese. That crap that's in the cardboard cylindrical containers that they sell as Parmesan cheese, that people in this country think is Parmesan cheese, I couldn't even say that there's anything about Parmesan cheese in that container.
Well, you might be right. According to this article, I think you're right on mark because it mentions Kraft in this article, the little green container.
Wow. So many people buy that, though. I mean, everybody I know has Kraft, you know, in the refrigerator. I mean, really, you know, just like to sprinkle on their salads or something. And,
If you've run out of Parmesan cheese or Kraft or anything in your refrigerator, just go outside and scrape some bark off a tree. It'll work just as well.
Well, Kraft invented the American single, which is not cheese either, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what they call it, cheese food.
Oh, I don't even go there. When the individual wrapped cheese, it tastes, I can't even stomach it.
American cheese, well, it's certainly very American.
Okay, and I need to clarify this. I'm actually blowing this a little bit out of proportion. In case people like going crazy and throwing away their Parmesan cheese, what companies are doing, for the most part, they're putting Swiss and white cheddar in place of the mozzarella, but they're actually putting the wrong cheeses in there. And then the cellulose is supposed to be 4%, but they're finding it to be 7.8 to 8.8, which is above the standard the FDA has allowed. So it's not 100% wood pulp. I just want to clarify that, so we don't get in trouble.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think everybody was just panicking.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, Lori, you know what halva is. I mean, you love
meat.
Of course,
I love it. Oh, yeah.
Well, see, my father loved it, and he turned me on to it. But in order to keep me from taking it from him, because, you know, it's like he didn't want me to love it too much, he used to tell me that it was sawdust and Elmer's glue.
No. Really, remember
I
brought that home
to you
at the store? Oh, so you wouldn't like it?
Yeah.
He was protecting you, though. Not in a bad way.
That's
he didn't do
right.
it in a bad way.
From protecting
me? He was protecting you. Yes. He didn't want you to get sick from eating too much.
Yeah.
Well, guys,
but I was addicted to that.
Oh, my God, me too.
We got 66 to say goodbye. Anything else you want to add, Lori?
60. No, I'll save my lentils article for next week. How
that
exciting.
That sounds like a great idea. A great idea. How about you, Brian?
It's a great idea.
Well, next week I might be on the road, so I might be calling from the magic carpet.
Ooh,
okay.
That's exciting.
And for me, I guess
I'll stop
guess
off at a Walmart somewhere and do the show from there.
There you go.
All right. We got to go. I guess that's it. Everyone come back and see us next Sunday, and hopefully we'll be running the show. We'll be working next Sunday. We'll see you then.
Cheers.
Barbecue. barbecue, fried beef and bread, ribs and sausage and a cold big red. Barbecue makes old ones be young. Barbecue makes everybody someone. If you're feeling puny, you don't know what to do, treat yourself to some meat. Eat some barbecue. Now there was once this girl I knew. She treated me so mean. I offered her my barbecue. She licked my platter clean. Barbecue, sliced beef and bread, ribs and sausage and a cold big red. Barbecue makes old ones be young. Barbecue makes everybody someone. If you're feeling puny, you don't know what to do, treat yourself to some meat. Eat some barbecue. Now don't give me no broccoli or any Swiss fondue. Barbecue, sliced beef and bread, ribs and sausage and that cold big red. Barbecue makes old ones be young. Barbecue makes everybody someone. If you're feeling puny, you don't know what to do, drink fast some meat, eat some barbecue.